According to a 2008 report from the Centers for Disease Control, an average of 9.2 million children were taken to the emergency room each year between 2000 and 2006. Of them, an average 12,000 children died from these emergencies in each of those years. And now these emergencies were considered non-abuse, meaning they were mostly accidents, probably some poisonings, which are probably categorized as accidents too. But there's a lot more to this story, including questions about who these children are and why they're so prone to accidents, repeat visits and more, and who better to ask about them than Upstate's Dr. Richard Kanner, professor of emergency medicine, focus on pediatrics, kids getting hurt. Welcome back, Dr. Kanner.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I say with a little bit of trepidation, because every time you're here, you talk about these accidents that children have that just floor me. And then I go home and I don't sleep for a week worrying about these kids who are out there and parents who aren't keeping track of them. This is a lot of kids.
Business is too good.
Yeah.
We're far, far overloaded with children who make bad decisions that aren't supervised appropriately. And the fact that the random nature of things favors an accident.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, and later on I want to talk about this report, because there was some record, there's some research that's been done that talks about kids who are in families who end up being quote-unquote accident-prone. But let's first talk about the kinds of injuries that you're seeing. Now, we're coming into the summer, great weather, kids are out of school, you've got everything from swimming pools out there to sunburns, but talk about some of the things you're seeing that parents might have been able to prevent.
Emergency medicine, jaundice is your outlook in towards normal things. I got up this morning, and I'm working this evening, and it's going to be sunny and nice. And instead of me seeing a lovely day, I know what's coming.
Ooh.
I know in the weather, this weather favors certain events. I mean, if you just think about your own home situation, the kids want to be outside, which is wonderful.
Sure, and they should be.
Yes, so let's take a tour of the environment. The garage is open. Dad is cleaning the lawn or doing all sorts of outdoor activities. Pesticides, insecticides are in the garage, often in Coke bottles or Pepsi bottles.
Ah, because somebody's poured them into something else because they, oh boy.
Little Billy goes in, a two-year-old, and he takes a drink. We have a poisoning that's potentially fatal. Dad starts the lawnmower. He goes out to mow the lawn, rider mower usually. In a lot of circumstances, the child could be unsupervised and end up with very serious injuries, riding on the mower or falling off the mower with dad or mom, and or running in front of the mower.
Or running in front of a push mower, as far as that's concerned.
We'd get lawnmower accidents all the time, and they're devastating because they're unforgiving, immediate, abrupt, and very, very, very traumatic.
I have to think that children are losing, what, fingers? Feet?
Legs. It's terrifying to me. And then we have swimming pools. And we know we're regulated federally and nationally with fencing and all sorts of preventative measures. But if I was a 2 to 20-year-old, I'd want to get wet. And I don't know where to dive. I don't know what's safe.
You don't know how deep the water is.
I don't know how deep the water is. If I'm a teenager, I'm probably going to want to have a drink before I go swimming.
Oh, gosh.
We've had diving accidents from roofs of houses to unfilled pools. Remember, children drown in all sorts of water sources, not only pools, but bathtubs and even buckets of water.
I have to think that even some of these little pools that you blow up and fill up with, you know, 6 inches of water,
yes,
you see drownings from those.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. That's as threatening as a 12-foot deep pool. Actually, more so, because you don't assume that that is a danger.
Right, you sort of let down your guard.
I mean, the common theme here is wonderful parents wanting to provide an enjoyable experience for their children, underestimating the motor skills of their child, number one, what they can open, what they can close, what they can climb, what they can't climb. Number two, a moment of unsupervised behavior on the part of the child could lead to something devastating.
And those moments, you know, let's even combine some of these things. One of the things we've been hearing about lately is texting, and we think of it behind the wheel of the car. And I can see some parents sitting in a lounge chair texting or chatting away, not paying attention to the two-year-old.
As a safety advocate, which is my life, being on the back end of catching the unsafe behaviors of the world, it drives me mental to see how distracted everyone is from the primary task at hand, as evidenced by the fact that even in our own emergency department, we have banned cell phone use by the families unless emergent, or texting. People will actually be texting while I'm talking to them in the emergency department about their child. It's something that we deal with.
We've all gotten into this multitasking mode. It's like, and the truth is, in many cases, we expect that that's what's going to happen from someone, that they can be making decisions about this while texting about this, while watching the TV that's on or listening to the radio that's in the car. It has become almost an expectation, and I just think it's ridiculous and it's dangerous.
There is no one listening to my voice right now that hasn't driven behind someone of any age who you can tell by the erraticness of their driving that they are texting or talking on the phone or doing something besides driving.
You know, I have to say, this morning I was driving into the studio to get ready for the radio show, and a city bus driver was on his cell phone and almost clipped the corner of my car taking the corner. I was appalled, and if I had been able to, I probably would have taken the license plate of that bus, because I just thought, you've got to be kidding me. But this is what you're talking about. People think they're infallible, like it can't happen to them.
Again, the audience needs to hear that I see only the bad endings of things.
Yes.
There are very happy people out there. But I see repetitive behaviors that seem to lead to negative outcomes.
Right. Well, you know what? We need to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what some of those repetitive behaviors are and what some of the things people can do differently. And this isn't just about don't be texting. This is about some really solid steps they can take. Sound good?
Absolutely.
Very good. Listeners, we're going to take a break. Please do stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.